My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from old. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done.
He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him.
The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God. They said, "Can God really spread a table in the wilderness?" True, he struck the rock and water gushed out. Streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us bread? Can he supply meat for his people?
When the Lord heard them, he was furious. His fire broke out against Jacob and his wrath against Israel. For they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heavens and by his power made the south wind blow. He rained meat down on them like dust, birds like sand on the seashore. He made them come down inside their camp, all around their tents. They ate till they were gorged. He had given them what they craved. But before they turned from what they had craved, even while the food was still in their mouths, God's anger rose against them. He put to death the sturdiest amongst them, cutting down the young men of Israel.
In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time he restrained his anger and did not stir up his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return.
How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day he displayed his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. He turned their river into blood. They could not drink from their streams. He sent swarms of flies that devoured them and frogs that devastated them. He gave their crops to the grasshopper, their produce to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore figs with sleet. He gave over their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He unleashed against them his hot anger, his wrath, indignation and hostility, a band of destroying angels. He prepared a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave them over to the plague. He struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, the first fruits of manhood in the tents of Ham.
But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid, but the sea engulfed their enemies. And so he brought them to the border of his holy land, to the hill country his right hand had taken. He drove out the nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes.
But they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes. Like their ancestors, they were disloyal and faithless and unreliable as a faulty bow. They angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. When God heard them, he was furious. He rejected Israel completely. He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had set up among humans. He sent the ark of his might into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the enemy. He gave his people over to the sword. He was furious with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men, and their young women had no wedding songs. Their priests were put to the sword, and their widows could not weep. The Lord awoke as from sleep, as a warrior wakes from the stupor of wine. He beat back his enemies. He put them to everlasting shame.
Then he rejected the tents of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel's his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them.
Let's pray. Before we do that, please keep your Bibles open at Psalm 78. Lord Jesus, we pray that as we spend time in Psalm 78, that you would work in our hearts, that you would remind us of your faithfulness, that we would remember your mercy despite our forgetfulness. Lord, we pray that you would help us to put aside all the worries and concerns of the past week and the coming week, and just to sit and quietly hear your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once upon a time, in an airport lobby, a married couple were standing in line waiting to check their bags in. And as they stood there, the husband piped up with his comment. He said, "I wish I'd brought the piano." Startled by this comment, his wife said, "Why, we've already got 16 bags." The husband said, "Yes, but the tickets are on the piano." I imagine most of us have experienced walking into a room only to realise that we have no idea why we've gone in there in the first place. Or have this feeling that you've forgotten something without being able to place your finger on exactly what it is. A few weeks ago, Tamara and I went to Wagga to do a bit of a shopping trip to get those things that we couldn't get in town. And the night before I went, I saw something that I needed to get and could only get from Wagga. The trouble was that I thought I'd be able to remember it. The next morning, as we headed off, I said to Tamara, "There is something that I need to get, but I didn't put it on the list, but I'm sure I'll remember it during the day." So we went left for Wagga and we went from shop to shop getting the things on our list, but I still couldn't remember what that thing was. It wasn't until tea time that night when all of a sudden, as clear as a bell, I called out, "Ah!" And everybody looked at me strangely. But I remember what I should have got in Wagga today. By that time, obviously it was too late. Doesn't matter how organised or disorganised we are, we all have times when we forget things, when we don't remember those things that we ought. And sadly, all of us forget the Lord's faithfulness. We all have times in our lives when we forget the Lord's love for us, how wonderful it is, and we get caught up in the things of this life. And that's why in this morning's passage, we are being reminded of the Lord's faithfulness to those who trust in him, as we look at the parable of the Lord's faithfulness. Now, that's a bit strange, isn't it? Because this morning we're looking at Psalm 78. And Psalm 78, well, when we think of a psalm, we think of a song or a prayer. But Psalm 78 is actually also a parable. That might have come through a bit as we saw the different readings in the Bible reading, all of those different sections of the history of Israel. And notice they weren't in order to when they happened. When we think of the word parable, we think of the parables of Jesus. And all those well-known parables, some of which we were going to look at Church in the Bush this week, but in a few weeks' time we'll look at, the parable of the sower, the parable of the prodigal son, or maybe the parable of the mustard seed, ones that come to all of our minds, and many others, of course. When Jesus told parables, he used word pictures. He used stories with real practical examples in them to describe the kingdom of God in everyday terms that everybody who was standing there would be able to understand. He used simple language and familiar concepts so that everybody would hear what was going on and understand, but not everybody would be able to listen. Only those who'd been given ears to hear and eyes to see would be able to listen and believe. And while this morning's passage is a parable, it's not quite like Jesus' parables, because rather than providing us with a short word picture or a short story, it is showing us that the whole history of Israel is, in one way, a parable. A story of God's saving mercy. The history of God's people reminds us of the Lord's faithfulness to his people, even to those who had totally forgotten him. Let's get into it. Verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. These words are speaking to those who trust in him. This is what theologians call a divine imperative. This is God speaking to his people. And these are commands. They are saying, hear and listen. Now, it's one thing to hear something, isn't it? It's an entirely different thing to listen. In the gospel, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's what the psalmist is saying here, that everybody that heard this psalm would have heard it, but not all would have listened to its message and believed. And in a similar way, Psalm 78 is saying, if you are my people, if you are the true followers of God, then hear and listen to these words. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. We have heard and known what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. In these verses, the psalmist himself is responding to the Lord's faithfulness. He is retelling the word of the Lord to the next generation. He's telling of all of the good news that he has heard, handed down to him. And he is promising on behalf of his people that they would continue to pass the good news of the kingdom of God's message down. That they would keep proclaiming the word of God so that the Lord's faithfulness to his people would be known from generation to generation. Because we are all forgetful. Because we all forget the message of hope that's in Christ Jesus. And sadly, the message that they're passing down also carries all the times when God's people hadn't been faithful to him. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. The Lord has given Israel the law. The law is sometimes misunderstood in thinking when you use the word law, but it's really God's instructions to his people. They were God's instructions of how God's people could live for him. And even when he gave these instructions, he was telling Moses and all those who would follow him why they should follow these words. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." From the moment that God gave his people these instructions, he was saying it was because he had delivered them that they were to follow. Just as those in Christ are freed from the guilt of our sins and then freed to serve our Saviour, freed to live for him. He saved them first and then called them to obey. Just as we were saved first and then called to obey. And so the psalmist is warning his people, his fellow kinsmen, to remember the Lord's faithfulness and to share it with each other in the next generation, so that they would put their trust in the Lord and would not forget his deeds, and so that they wouldn't make the same mistakes that their forefathers had made. And because they hardened their hearts in the wilderness, didn't they? They forgot the Lord's faithfulness. They grumbled against the God who had delivered them out of the hands of slavery. With each short parable, Psalm 78 is showing Israel's rebellion against the God who delivered them, not because of who they are, but because of who he is. God's mercy was constantly being shown to Israel, and they were constantly forgetting what he had done. This is the message the psalmist wants us to see. The psalmist is saying, in a way, the whole Old Testament is one big parable. It shows us God's mercy, despite how quickly his people forget him. And sadly, those of us on this side of the cross are no different. We're just as forgetful as the people of Israel. And yet God in his mercy continues to show us love, continues to call us back to him. He's given us a hope despite our failures in the good news of Jesus. The good news that God has freed his people. He has freed us from the guilt and shame of our sin. He has freed us to come to him in prayer any time, day or night. And he's done this when God willingly went to the cross on our behalf, when he willingly hung there for us. The blood of the ultimate Passover lamb covered our guilt and shame. And when Jesus did that, judgment passed over for those with faith in him. Through the cross, Jesus brought his people out of slavery from sin and gave them hope of life forever in the ultimate promised land. Life forever with Christ eternally. Through the cross, Jesus delivered those who trust in him from their guilt and shame. He freed us to serve him and to live for him because of what he has done for us. Like Israel, well, we forget, don't we? We get caught up in our lives, we get distracted by shiny things, we get led away by worries and concerns rather than crying out to him. We lose sight of God's faithfulness when things aren't going our way. Well, and sometimes we are even tempted to grumble against God's good plan for us. Therefore, let us hear and listen and tell others what God has done. We must be among those who hear God's words and who put God's words into action. As James 1 says, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what it looks like. This morning we're being warned to remember the Lord's faithfulness, to remember all that he has done for us. God has spoken, and he has spoken through his Son. He has delivered us from captivity, from slavery. He has brought us out. He has freed us to serve him. And he has given us the hope of life forever in paradise with him. And while we wait, we must remember the Lord. In this life, there are so many things that are trying to steal our gaze all the time. We all feel it. I feel it. I'm sure you feel it as well. There are so many things that are trying to divert our attention from the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are called to not just hear, but also listen and believe, to sit under the teaching of God's word, to spend time amongst God's people in prayer, in reading the Bible together, and to spend time speaking to our Lord on our own, quietly, coming before him. Not so that we can gain our salvation or anything like that. The history of Israel clearly shows that God's mercy is undeserved, just as our mercy, the mercy we've received from Christ, is undeserved. But so that we can remember the mercy that we have received, so that we can remember the Lord's faithfulness, so that we can hear, listen, and then tell this good news to those who don't know him, so that we might be ready to share the good news, the hope of Christ Jesus, with everyone that does not know him, so that future generations will declare the Lord's faithfulness in keeping every single one of his promises. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we are not always faithful. Lord, we praise you because you are. Because even when we have given in to despair, when we have been tempted to grumble and complain against you, when we have been distracted by shiny things or by worries and concerns, Lord, you remain faithful. You continue to show us mercy despite our rebellion, and you continue to show us love even when we run from you. Lord, we thank you for the undeserved mercy that you showed us when you willingly hung on the cross for us, when you shed your blood so that judgment might not fall on us. Lord, we pray that as we go out from here later, that your Spirit would be working in each of us, that you would lead and guide us and help us to remember what you have done. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.